man, because God's trying to fix their heart, not their situation. Amen? Because so many times I've got down there and I'm fixing and I'm putting together and it's all falling apart and getting worse, and the person's attitude is garbage. My attitude's garbage. And I'm sitting there trying to figure out, God, why ain't this guy taking the blessing? Why ain't she taking the blessing? Because it's not a blessing, it's a curse. You're only fixing the situation where they'll stay in the situation. I've got them in the situation because guess what? A few more weeks of this, they'll be calling you. And they won't ask for a new bicycle. They won't ask for a tent. They won't ask for money. They won't ask for you to do something out of it. They'll say, how can I get help? And you tell me and I'll do it. But what happens a lot of times, we'll intervene. And I'm telling you right now, and I'm not being mean. Sometimes we try to pray people out of situations. Listen, God is a master. He would rather you get saved on your deathbed than you to get up healthy, live another 10 years and die lost. Amen? If he has to, he'll bring you to a place. I've said this and I might get in trouble. I might have people get all over me for the next 5 years, but I believe COVID probably got more people saved than the church has in decades. And you say, what do you mean? When a man or a woman's laying down there at the hospital and ain't nobody could come in but God, I guarantee there's a lot of people got saved because they never thought they'd be in that situation. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to make light of the situation. I'm just saying I know God's better than that. And a lot of times what we see is brokenness and weakness and falling apart. God is like, that's where I operate. That's where I operate. I don't really operate in blessed. I don't operate when everybody's doing well, when everybody's being blessed and highly favored. I'm not a prosperity God. I hate to tell you, God always goes to poverty. How do you know that, brother? Because what do they call, you know where we live, you know what it's called? It's called the Bible something. It's called the Bible. Yeah, it's called a Bible belt. Matter of fact, a lot of times they say right over here in Cleveland, that's the buckle. Ain't that what they say? That's where it used to be Church God Assemblies. That used to be their headquarters. The Baptist Association headquarters used to be there. And can I tell you something else about this region? It was the poorest region in the whole world. We were the poorest. We were poorer than dirt. Ignorant, poor, and didn't have anything but one thing. Jesus. Ain't it amazing? The people that don't have nothing want Jesus. That's why somebody said, well, how do you know God, you know, how do you know if he goes in these third world countries? Wait, praise God, we wouldn't have to do, man, if we could take one service a week over there, lots of people would be saved because you know what? We're so desensitized to it. We can sit through 10,000 revivals, flip it up on YouTube, look it on the internet, go to Facebook, hear every preacher and every teacher and sit there and go, man, I've heard that, man. I've heard that before. You can go to a third world country and say in the name of Jesus. And they'll start saying, hey, can you tell us all about it? Because we ain't got nothing. And we need hope. We want something. And you tell them about the greatest gift ever, and they say, well, I'll just take it. And they live for it, and they die for it. Amen? Man, we're still on one verse. It's different when the Holy Ghost gets in the message. Let me just say it that way. Ain't that true? Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen? Man, when God is revealed to us, my gosh, I love praying for God's grace. Amen? You know there's grace for about everything. There's grace for everything. Grace to live, that's a big, we all got just about that. Have you ever watched somebody walk through real painful death, walk through things, and you're sitting there going, how are they doing that? Amen? Hey, Whitney was one. Hey, amen. That was the one. Man, I'm telling you. I kept visiting her. I kept visiting her all the way up to the very end. And I just kept waiting. I was waiting. And I did a couple times. I told her, I said, you ain't going to offend me. Blow it out. You know what I mean? Just blow it out. If you're angry, you're mad, you're hurt, it ain't going to bother me. Just blow it out. I'm good. I'm just praying for other people, and I'm going to be all right. God's good. We're trusting Jesus. I'm just sitting there going, well, my goodness, man, how in the world is this possible? And I just kept waiting. There's going to be a day. There's going to be a day. We're going to blow it out. I know I would. I blew it out. Listen, y'all, so I'd have closed the door. Let me tell you, God. You know who I, you know what I've been? Oh, my goodness. That never happened. Not one time. Not one time. You say, well, how's that? She got grace to go through that and walk through it. She got the grace to die. And you won't know what that is until you're ready to die. Amen? We'll fight for life because we got a lot here. Amen? But when you're going to pass on, God give you that strength to pass on. Amen? There's grace to do a lot of things. Amen? There's a grace to live with other people. There's a grace to forgive. There's a grace to go with other people. Praise God. You know what's wrong with our country more than anything else? We never give anybody any grace. We don't. That's the biggest problem. Today, we are entrenched. It's almost like watching World War II or World War I, probably World War I. We got a trench on this side, and we got a trench on that side, and every once in a while, we go and we slaughter each other, and we go back to our trenches, and you know what? You know what usually is the truth? Everybody on that side and everybody on that side all want the same things. They just don't know how to explain it to each other, and they won't listen. They're hungry, they're tired, they want a house, they want kids, they want peace, they want this, but they don't know how to explain it, and neither one of them, we ain't listening to them, they're a bunch of ignorant. And you know what? They'd rather kill each other and sit in their trenches than walk and give grace and say, you know what? I'll pray for you if you'll pray for me. I'll give you a little bit of birth if you'll give me some birth. You know what I found out? If you just widen your row about 12 feet, you can walk right by about anybody. And it won't bother neither one of you. Amen? Ain't that amazing? And I have found this out to be true while I'm there. When people are sick and dying and hurting, they don't care who prays for them. They don't care who says what. Amen? And when you're sick and dying, you know what? You'll forget all the petty stuff. And you'll get down to the important stuff. And you'll want to talk about important stuff. So many of us rail on things that are not very important. Amen? We talk about things that really ain't going to change anything. But you know what it'll do? It'll get somebody to agree with you, and you'll feel good about it. Man, I'm doing better preaching tonight than I have in a while, y'all. Yeah, that's probably, I'll just be honest with you, I'd listen to this from myself. Let's go over, let's jump over, let's go, I want y'all to get this from two different groups of people. So let's look at another apostle in this same vein. Go to Romans chapter 12 real quick. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. And he is talking about your mind, right? Peter was. And the reason I want y'all to do this is because sometimes I can get in this mode, and I know you can. We can get sometimes uber spiritual is what I want to say. We can get to the point where over spiritual. I believe some of the, I think some churches get too over educated, and that's my opinion. I think they rely too heavily on their education and their own knowing. And then there's another ditch on the other side. People get too heavy on the Holy Spirit of God that He does everything all the time for you, and there is no real work. You just got to kind of lean back and let God do it all. And I'm on the line of this. A little bit of both wouldn't hurt. I'm on this line. Praise God, you have to pursue Jesus. Amen. Listen. You've got the Holy Spirit. You're sealed with a promise of eternal life. You're filled with the Holy Spirit, but it's who you feed. Amen? If you feed that Holy Spirit or that new man, he'll grow and he'll operate. If you feed that old man, he'll grow and operate. Amen? You'll be surprised. Has anybody here gotten surprised, if we'll be real honest with ourselves, where you had a real spiritual time when you read and you prayed and you did that, and you thought, man, I will never, ever struggle with sin or temptation again. Amen? I have. I've been there. I thought, man, there was times where I said, man, I got this licked. Man, this ain't nothing. But then I had got my guard down, and I said, well, I can listen to a little bit of this. I can watch a little bit of that. I can have this kind of conversation. I can think over here. And you know what? It ain't long. It ain't long before that old man goes, hello. And he reintroduces himself to you and everybody else. Boy, ain't that a good word. He reintroduces himself to you. You know him. But there's some people, since you've been saved, hadn't met the old you. God, can I preach right there? You know what people say? They go, I never seen him do that before. I never seen her that way. Why did she talk to me that way? I never heard that. And all it came from was your opinions, your thoughts, your actions, what you fed, what your eye gate let in, what your ear gate let in, what your mouth gate let in, whatever you let in, it's going to come out. Amen? I say this all the time. People think I'm funny, but it's absolutely true. I see my old man. He's in a pool hall. He's sitting over in the corner. It's shaded, you know, and the light's real dim right there. You know, the pool hall table light, it's lit up. And over in the very corner, you make out a guy. He's sitting in the corner. He's kind of smoking a cigarette, got a hat down over here. Okay, and he just sits over. He's pale. He's weak. He's frail. You wouldn't think nothing about him. You think, man, that old dude, man, he looks like he's about to die. But praise God, he loves it when you throw him a little old bone over. If you throw him any, hey, what do you think we should do? Y'all ever do that? Hey, what do you think we should do? Not your spiritual man, not praying, not going to God, not listening to the Holy Spirit. Hey, Kevin, what do you think we should do in this situation? Man, he gets big quick. Well, listen, here's what I do. You really want to get even. Well, next thing you know, he just... one right after another. Amen. Next thing you know, he's running the show. Is that about right? Is that right for anybody else? Well, how do you get that guy back in the seat? How do you get him? He ain't going away. Amen. You can crucify him. You can get him put down. He ain't going nowhere until you die. I hate to tell spiritual people this, but guess what? You got two spirits in here and they're warring. Amen. He ain't going nowhere. It's just who you feed. Praise God. It's who you feed is who's going to win the fight. Somebody says, well, my old man's dead. Yeah, okay, all right. I just like to see you at the house a couple weeks in a row. See what happens, you know. Let's go to this. I can't help but read this. I'm trying to get to verse 2. I promise I won't hang up too long on verse 1. But I want to give this to you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Underline that word right there. That's your reasonable service. A living sacrifice. You know what you got to do to be, you know what a sacrifice is considered of? When you give it all. Amen? And what I love about that, God says, give me your whole life. You know what? That is very fair and reasonable. Why? Because he gave you his whole life. Amen? He went to that cross completely. You should be able to give your whole life to him. Amen? When you think to yourself, well, man, why does God want so much? You said, why did he give so much? Amen? Next thought, get in verse 2. Oh, this is it. Here's the good stuff, right? Y'all ready? And I'm going to preach from here. I don't think I'm going to go back to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm just going to stay right here because there's a lot more meat here for us, and I'll be done, I promise. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Conformed. Look at that. Be not conformed to this world. You have to get out of the mold of this world. Somehow, some way, you have to get out of the mold. And you got to let God transform your mind. Very simplistic guy here. Very simplistic minded. I think of it like this. God taking this wire off and putting this wire. When he rewired my brain, he had to do, man, it was very... That wasn't right. This wasn't wrong. Oh, my goodness. Let me get real with you just for a moment. This is how I thought about women. Completely wrong. I had looked at it through a worldly lens, through a perverted lens. Right? So guess what? God had to come in and take that wire and completely rip it out and rewire that. Golly, bum, y'all. Here's what it looks like. Object. Golly. I hate preaching to church sometimes because when you preach to church, people get defensive. When I go to recovery centers or revivals or men's conferences, man, they're just like, oh, gosh, you know. Thing to conquer, thing to have, possession, right? Wired. God rips that wire out, and the first one he puts in there, helpmate. Helpmate. Friend, protection, greatest ally, lover, lover of your soul, lover of your mind, will love you when nobody else loves you. I sent her to complete you, not be you. I brought her to be aside, to be beside you, to complete. Have you ever noticed your wife usually is everything you're not? Amen? She looks and she does the things, and you're sitting there going, man, I don't think like that. I don't operate that way. Thank God she does. That's me. Amen? I mean, there's about 1,000 things she does, and I'm sitting there thinking, I don't even think of that. I don't think of that stuff. But there are some things, like five of them, God, that I do. They're very important. Amen? They're important. Hope. That I do. There's some things that I do that she doesn't do. And you know what? That makes us a great marriage. And she's a helpmate. And when I preach this all the time. She's my helpmate. Guess what, helpmate? You know what you do when somebody comes along to help you? You know what happens when somebody says, I'm here to help? You know what you don't do? Stop. Say you're working real hard, and you say, man, I really need some help. And if they send some help over there, and all you do is you go over there and sit down and go, man, I'm glad the help's here. Eventually, that person that came to help is going to look at you and go, man, I can't stand you. Because you're not helping me. I'm doing everything. And all of a sudden, you got me. And next thing you know, you're not doing anything. I believe that's our biggest problem a lot of times in marriages and in life is God sent us a helpmate, and we stopped. They started doing it all, and we just started watching. All we got to do is, hey, thanks for the help. How can I be a part of the team and make this a good working unit? Amen? By the renewing of your mind. That was, man, God done that. I couldn't believe. Man, I started looking at women and my wife and my daughters and everybody else. Boy, I looked at them different. Man, I looked at them different. I started getting aggravated. Man, that's somebody's daughter. That's somebody's niece. That's somebody's kid. That could be my daughter. That could be my wife. Man, this is bad. God is beautiful about getting rid of your stinking thinking. Amen? But you got to let him rewire or rework or renew your mind. And the only way you can do it, now there's several ways, but the biggest way you're going to do it, I hate to tell you this, but it's right here in front of you. Who everybody is in that book. How the order of things supposed to be, it's in the book. One of the greatest ministry that I do in my life right now is not preaching and teaching. It is not. You know what the greatest single ministry that I do on the face of this planet is right now? I get people to read this book through the year. That is my greatest ministry. I take more pride. I get more swelled up about that than anything else I do. It started about 7 or 8 years ago. I used to read through all the time. And then they came along with this thing called Facebook. And all of a sudden, I asked a few people if they'd go with me. And I didn't even really care if they went with me, to be honest. I just needed accountability. The next thing you know, I had people say, it's my first time through. We enjoyed it. Can we go through with you next year? Well, of course. Then somebody else, hey, this is my second time through. And man, the second time is better than the first time. Then guess what? I have couples who've joined. Man, we're reading together. We're seeing stuff that we didn't see before. My gosh, this is amazing. You know what? And one couple in particular, you know what? Their marriage got stronger. They got stronger through a pandemic because they were reading the Bible instead of doing everything else, worrying about what TV was on, what people were saying. You should get the shot. You shouldn't get the shot. You should wear a mask. You shouldn't wear a mask. You should do this. You shouldn't do that. They're in the Word of God. How about that? We've got all this time together. We've been saying that we've been in church our whole life, but the moment we're excommunicated from the church by the will of everybody else, we draw away from God instead of to God. Here it is. It's the blueprint. This is an instruction book. And let me tell you something. I can tell when more people are in this or when they're in the world, when they're on the TV or when they're on the radio compared to being this. Because when you get in this, you change. It don't change, you change. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Whew. You want to be in the perfect will of God? Let him work on your mind through the book, through prayer, and here's this next thing, getting fitly joined into the correct body of Christ for you. Amen? Figure out what body part you are. I'm serious. That's a big deal. Because some of us won't be mouthpieces. We're not. Or we try to be. Some of us try to be elbows. We're not elbows. I don't know why I brought up elbows. Some of us want to be the heart. And we're not the heart. Some of us want to be the mind. We're not the mind. Some of us want to be the feet. We're not the feet. But praise God, if you ever figure out what you're supposed to do in the kingdom of God, and you jump in the body of Christ with a bunch of people that are trying to do the same thing, it is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And you know what I have found out about that? That if you are really a part of a body, and the head is Jesus, amen, and you got your mind right, you know what you'll never do? You'll never look at any part of that body and go, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to smash that sucker. Amen? Because it's just like your human body. I can go get a hammer and put it in my hand and look down at my pinky toe. Yeah, he's just a hanger-on. He really ain't doing nothing. Right? He's not a good-looking fella. He's just over on the side, taking up space, taking up blood, taking up some nutrients. And the rest of my body goes, are you crazy? I don't really know what he does. God, I'm so sorry. He's a part of the 10. I don't know why God put him in here, but praise God, we like all 10 of them. Amen? And if you smash him, the rest of the four are going to hurt. And the foot's going to hurt. And then the knee's going to hurt. And then when you're compensating from all that pain over time, your whole body alignment's going to get off. And you know what? Then all of a sudden your mind is not going to be able to focus on anything else because it's going to be asking you a question, or why did you get off doing what's important, like feeding yourself and clothing yourself and doing what's needed, but you thought it was smart to go whack somebody who's with you? Ain't that something? Y'all thought I was crazy I was preaching that. That's how insane it is. When you look over in somebody in the body of Christ that may be doing something that you really don't totally understand, you might want to get a spiritual piggy toe about yourself. I'm so dumb sometimes when I preach. You might want to just look at them and say, I don't even know. They might just be a piggy toe. But I ain't going to smash them, because I'd hate to get the whole body of Christ out of alignment just because I don't know what they're doing or how they're doing. But you know what? If you're not careful, you might think they're an insignificant toe, but you might whack somebody who's a vital organ. And you might do more damage than you ever thought about doing. You might hit somebody and you thought, man, they really wasn't doing nothing. All of a sudden, they're your spleen. Or they were your liver. Or they were a lung. And you didn't know because they didn't say a whole lot. They didn't speak a whole lot. They didn't do a lot. They didn't get out front. They wasn't out on Front Street. They wasn't out there shouting and running. But praise God, it feels good when they're pumping in and out that air. Amen. That old heart appreciates it. And the brain appreciates it. The whole body should appreciate it. Amen. Sometimes we need to rework our mind. We're not in this by ourselves. We can't do it by ourselves. We're a body in Christ. We got to get our minds wired into God and say, God, you lead. And then you know what? You'll appreciate everybody else for you. There's a whole lot of that in the rest of the chapter. We'll go into it next week. That's it. Let's all stand up. Did y'all learn anything?